From the spy analyst, the Soros reversal, the $87 billion covert op that exposed America's secret yen intervention. Three unrelated financial moves just exposed America's best-kept secret, and once you see the pattern, you can never unsee it. Most people wait for a headline to tell them something big has happened, but the biggest shifts in history rarely arrive as headlines. They arrive as anomalies, small, strange, almost born decisions buried inside financial filings and central bank statements, decisions that don't make sense until you zoom out far enough to see the shape they're drawing together. Today, we want to zoom out with you, because if you look at three recent financial moves that seem, individually, like routine economic housekeeping, a single, unsettling picture emerges. The American economy is entering what can only be described as a terminal decline. We want to be careful with that phrase because it's easy to misuse. This is not a prediction of collapse. Not next year. Not next decade, possibly. This is something quieter, slower, and in some ways scarier, a structural erosion that has already begun, that cannot be reversed by any single policy, and that most people alive today will watch unfold in real time without ever seeing it named on the evening news. Before we go further, hold two numbers in your mind, because they are the ground truth beneath this entire story. The first is 163.87. That is the number of Japanese yen it cost to buy a single United States dollar on July 29th, 2026, the weakest the yen has been in nearly 40 years. The second number is $39.83 trillion. That is the size of the United States national debt as of August 5, 2026. It is growing at a rate of approximately $524 billion every 6 weeks, roughly $91,000 every single second. It is on track to cross $40 trillion by the end of this month. Those two numbers are not separate facts. They are the two ends of a loaded gun, pointed at the heart of the American financial system. By the end of this piece, you'll understand exactly why. Stay with us, this one goes deep. Let's start with the anomaly that triggered this entire investigation. A few days ago, the U.S. Treasury, America's finance ministry, the department that manages the nation's money, did something that should raise an eyebrow. It spent billions of dollars in the open market with one specific goal: strengthening the Japanese yen, a currency that isn't even America's own. But before we even talk about the why, we have to talk about the how, because the mechanics here are stranger than fiction. The United States Treasury did not sell dollars to buy yen. It sold euros. The New York Federal Reserve, acting on behalf of the Treasury through the Exchange Stabilization Fund, the Treasury's standing war chest for currency operations, executed the purchase through Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, selling euros to buy yen. On paper, the United States never sold a single dollar. Pause on that for a second. Why would the world's most powerful economy spend its own resources defending someone else's currency? And why would it go out of its way to do it using another currency entirely, routing the trade through private Wall Street banks as if trying to disguise the fingerprints? Every major financial outlet is currently telling you the same reassuring story, that Washington is helping Tokyo out of friendship. President Trump himself framed it that way, that the United States has a good relationship with Japan, and Japan wanted a little help. That reading is not just shallow, it is dangerously wrong. Here's the part that makes it genuinely strange. This wasn't an isolated act of kindness. A few months before this yen intervention, Washington ran the exact same play, this time to defend the UAE dirham, the currency of the United Arab Emirates. And before that, the very same strategy was used to prop up Argentina's currency. Three different countries, three different regions. It's the kind of story that writes itself as a feel-good headline. Superpower steps in to save struggling economies. But if you actually understand how economics works, not the textbook version, but the real version, the one played out in boardrooms and treasury departments, this isn't protectio. N. One repeating pattern. On the surface, it looks almost noble, like America is playing guardian angel, using its financial muscle to protect its friends and allies from currency turmoil. This is triage. This is a fire brigade rushing to put out small fires before they merge into one that burns down the house. And the house, in this case, is the very foundation of American economic power. To understand why America is so desperate to stop these small fires, we need to go back all the way back to the ashes of the Second World War. Every empire has an origin story. The dollar's origin story begins with the fall of another empire entirely. When World War Roman II finally ended, the British Empire was not the empire it used to be. It was bleeding out financially, militarily, and politically. For centuries, Britain had ruled as a colonial superpower, extracting wealth, resources, and loyalty from territories spanning the globe. But the war forced a reckoning. One by one, colony after colony broke away, demanding and winning their independence. Britain, the empire on which the sun never set, shrank back down into the modest island nation it had geographically always been. And here's the crucial part. Currencies are not abstract numbers. They are reflections of national power. As Britain's global footprint collapsed, so did the global authority of its currency, the British pound, which had spent generations as the undisputed king of international trade, quietly slipped off the throne it had occupied for over a century. Thrones, as history shows us again and again, do not stay empty for long. And empires that are paying attention don't wait for a throne to empty, they position themselves to seize it the moment it does. Into that vacuum stepped a new contender, one that had emerged from the war not weakened, but strengthened, the United States and its currency, the US dollar. Washington didn't just watch Britain's decline from the sidelines, it actively leveraged it, moving deliberately to convert Britain's loss into America's gain, at precisely the moment the old order was too weak to resist. But here's what most people get wrong about this moment. The dollar didn't simply become the world's currency by accident. America built that outcome, deliberately, brick by brick, policy by policy. After the war, Washington didn't just want economic influence, it wanted the dollar to become the default language of global trade itself. Every nation, every transaction, every international deal would eventually need dollars to function. And crucially, this demand was backed by something extraordinarily powerful, the full weight of America's economic and military supremacy. In the earliest years, this dominance had a physical anchor. Two, the dollar was directly backed by gold reserves, meaning every dollar in circulation theoretically represented a fixed amount of gold sitting in a vault. This gave the currency an almost unshakable sense of trust and stability. That anchor didn't last forever. In the early 1970s, under President Richard Nixon, the United States severed the link between the dollar and gold entirely, a moment historians now call the Nixon shock. From that point forward, the dollar's value was no longer backed by a physical asset. It was backed by something far more abstract, the world's continued faith in America itself. And remarkably, that faith held. For decades, Washington worked tirelessly to keep the dollar enthroned as the world's reserve currency, the currency every central bank wanted to hold, the currency every commodity was priced in, the currency every crisis sent investors running toward for safety. That system worked beautifully for America for nearly 80 years. Until now, to understand where the cracks are,